Of Hub City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
You said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know, we can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the SIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
And we welcome you into the Sports Hub right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com, live streaming with the Facebook video there, facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. Make sure to smash that like button and share the stream. We've got ourselves a great local show for you here today. I mean, we're always talking local sports, a couple of regional things and college and pro as well, but mostly on the local side of things here today. As Gannon May, Aberdeen Ron Colley Sr., he'll be joining us live in studio, and more importantly, Hub City Radio intern. Of course, he'll be joining us here in the next 10 to 15 minutes on the program, talking some golf there with him, talking some tennis. He's off to a really, really good start here this season on the tennis side of things. And truth be told, he's also a hockey fan, so we'll talk about some of the officiating things that happened last. See, that's just the thing. Mm-hmm. You were out this last week. We didn't have a chance to talk about the Aberdeen Wings and some of those 50-50 calls. I mean, we did a little bit, very, very briefly, but we had Scott Langer on the program on Friday. And, you know, candidly, Matt and I have been texting back and forth about some of those things in other capacities, and we'll leave that off the air. But nevertheless, we'll talk about that and much more today with Gannon May, Hub City Radio intern. That's towards the quarter past the hour break, if you will, right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. He's Matt McClure. How are you, sir? How's your Tuesday going so far?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm a little sleepy. I stayed up late last night doing something I typically don't do. I watched a movie on a Monday night. We're talking about, have you ever seen the movie Fall before?
No.
Yeah, we were talking about this.
Watch the trailer.
Isn't it terrifying?
Yeah, it's pretty scary. It's a thriller.
Big
time.
That's
for sure.
My hands were sweating. My feet were sweating. I know that's not necessarily a very good, you know,
visual
for our listeners out there, but, you know, it was a very, very intense thriller. And the long and short of it is these two gals, they climb this 2,000 foot tall TV tower that's abandoned, and the ladder breaks off, and they got to figure out how to get stuck,
and
right? They get stuck at the very, very top. It sounds terrifying. It is. And the movie is...
How was the ending, though?
It was good, not great. I think the ending could have been a little better.
Okay. You see, those movies always have a great plot.
Mm-hmm.
They always end not great. You're not satisfied with the ending. So when I watch the trailer, I'm like, hey, you know, this looks good, but is the ending going to be all right?
Right.
So
that's a fair question. I think the ending was good, not great. I think they could have executed it a little bit better.
I can live with that.
But yeah, I think overall for a low-budget movie like it was, or like it is, I guess... very, very solid. By the way, Jeffrey Dean Morgan is in there. Do you know who Jeffrey Dean Morgan is?
I do not.
So I think he's in Walking Dead, I think.
It's got a 79 on Rotten.
Yeah, it's a good flick. So
79, that's a good score on Rotten Tomatoes.
I've been giving you all sorts of movies to watch since your time here at Hub City Radio. Mike Schmidt's always giving you TV shows to watch, so we'll have to put that one on the list.
Well, it came out in 2022, mm-hmm. So hopefully that's in the time zone for Coach Schmidt. You know, he gives me a lot of hard time for watching movies and TV shows from the 80s and 90s. Hopefully 2022 is recent enough there for him.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, he's an avid listener of the show. Maybe he sends me a text message or something like that, and and we figure that out. Hopefully that's in his wheelhouse. But hey, last time he was in here, you were the one asserting dominance?
yeah. With the headphones.
With the headphones, yeah.
Yeah, the headphone case. I only had one pair. He's like, hey, you're wearing my headphones. I forgot them. Sorry about that.
It happens. It happens to the best of us. But yeah, watch the movie Fall if you get a chance. It's on
Tubi.
It's on Tubi. Yeah, it's one of them free movie apps. You got to sit through like three or four commercial breaks.
Yeah, okay.
But overall, not too shabby.
All right, I'll check it out.
Put it on the list. All right, he's Matt McClure. We call him the Cobra. Toss this thing skyward here on Fox Sports Aberdeen for the Jump on FSA. And this came across my feed. We'll talk about it here in just a second. Speaking of came across my feed, on your laptop, you, of course, a Penn State guy. You got some Penn State Nittany Lion background there. We'll talk about an interesting thing that's happened in the sports realm in that regard. But you know me, not a big NBA guy, but I'm interested in some certain things that happen in NBA games, if you will. And last night, the Denver Nuggets and Oklahoma City Thunder, you've got Game 1 of the Western Conference Semifinals. Of course, for folks around here, probably care a little bit about that, because if the Timberwolves are fortunate enough to beat Golden State, they'll take on the winner of that series, whether that's Denver or OKC. We'll have to wait and see. But last night, Oklahoma City is up by 3 points with 10 seconds to go in the game. And they were doing the old, hey, let's just foul them. They can't catch us because they'll just get two at a time. It'll work out. It didn't work out. They were up by three, and they fouled Oklahoma City with about 10 seconds left to go. They made both of them.
Too early.
Yeah, and then OKC, they fouled Denver. Back and forth and back and forth it goes. And then, Denver fouled OKC.
Yep.
And they made both of them, so now it's a one-point game. And then Oklahoma City, they go to the free throw line, and they miss some. And that leaves the door open there for Denver to walk through it, and Denver hits a three from the left wing with Aaron Gordon. And you just kind of get into this scenario all the time in basketball. Do you foul when you're up three? And some coaches say no, some coaches say yes. As a fan, I'll be honest with you, I hate it when teams foul up three. I think most coaches would say it just makes sense because probably the analytics behind it would say more often than not, over time, it's probably going to work out for you. But just as an observer, as a sports fan, it's like, oh, you don't have that last second, you know, three. Or
plus it drags on.
It kind of drags a little bit there for sure. But are you a foul up by 3 points kind of guy or no?
No, I'm usually a play defense guy. I that's just how I am. I've always been that way. I understand why teams do it. I understand that piece of it, but if a team's struggling from outside the whole game or whatnot, I think I would just play straightaway defense and not foul, because then you could also get into the situation where, yes, you want to foul, but what if you foul the guy while he's in the shooting motion and he goes to the free throw line? We saw that a little bit in the New York-Boston game earlier. The foul just came a split second before he was in the shooting motion. So I just thought Denver and that OKC team, they fouled too early. That was the thing I didn't understand with Oklahoma City there. They fouled a little bit too early. And then, obviously, a couple missed free throws. I was shocked Chet Holmgren missed both free throws, and it allowed kind of a outlet pass. It was Christian Braun right to Russell Westbrook. And I was surprised. Russell Westbrook's been in that situation so many times towards the back half of his career, it seems like, and he just makes a boneheaded play where he just throws up a wild layup, and everybody's looking around like, what are you doing, man? This time he finally made the right play and found Aaron Gordon for that three-pointer. But you don't see this very often, too. The road teams in both the games yesterday, probably pretty heavy underdogs, both the Knicks and the Nuggets won, and that could be. And the Pacers on Sunday, they beat Cleveland in Cleveland. Now, that worries me a little bit for the Timberwolves, because they're at home and they're playing Golden State. You just don't see that much in NBA basketball when you get to the playoffs.
Yeah, that's not exactly a good omen if you're a Timbies fan. So I'm right there with you. I think they fouled way too early. I can understand fouling if there's a half a second left or 1 second left or maybe even two. but not when there's 10 seconds left.
Yeah, that's an eternity, especially how fast guys get up and down the court. I mean, you saw it on that game-winning three,
mm-hmm.
how quickly that was. And Oklahoma City, they were kind of scattered defensively, and, I mean, that was a pretty open look for three. It's not like it was over a guy. It was catch and shoot. Bingo. I mean, that's kind of what that shot was. But, yeah, I mean, pretty good games there last night.
I did watch the highlights this morning, and I thought to myself, that just doesn't make any sense. A coaching gaffe, if you will. At least in my opinion, I think even the coaches that are very much pro foul up by three would say, but not with 10 seconds
left
to go.
Yeah, not with 10 seconds.
Way too much time. So speaking of Penn State, we talked about that here with the tease earlier, that Abdul Carter, of course, he just got drafted here to the New York Giants within the last week or so, week and a half, 2 weeks. Draft was, what, 2 weeks from last Thursday?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
So almost 2 weeks ago. So he wants to wear 56. And I don't know if you know this or not, but there was a pretty good 56 for the New York Giants back in the day. Some would say maybe even the best defensive player to ever even lace him up. Talking about Lawrence Taylor, the original LT. Now, not LaDainian Tomlinson. I'm talking the original LT.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there was conversation. Well, I wore 11 in college. Maybe I can wear 11 in the pros. Well, Phil Simms wore 11 as well. And just, I don't know. What is the deal with players just not making their own thing their own thing? Like, you need to make your own history. It's like, oh, I really like 56, or I really like 11.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those numbers are already taken. So how about 44? Or
44 would look good on Abdul Carter.
I was going to say 40. I don't know. I just randomly threw out 44 out there. But 44 would look pretty good for him.
I'm with you. I just think it's kind of funny. It's like you're asking two Giants Hall of Famers for their jerseys. Like, the chances of that happening are pretty slim with guys and their numbers. I mean, I understand, yeah, you wore a number probably your whole life, but, I mean, to ask Lawrence Taylor for 56.
Pretty presumptuous.
It's a little bit much, in my opinion. And he wanted to wear 11 because, like you said, he wore that at Penn State. And I'm reading here that it was outvoted by Phil Simms' family. So I think Phil was maybe okay with it, but no one else was.
Well, we saw that with the Tennessee Titans and Warren Moon. He bequeathed the number one to Cam Ward.
Yeah, I did see that.
Which was kind of cool. But at the end of the day, I think you have to do your own thing. I mean, this would be like Gray Zabel of the Seahawks going to Walter Jones and being like, hey, 71, that looks pretty good on me. Do you mind? It's like, you know what? I do mind. Why don't you just make your own history?
Yeah. And he's going to, you know, he's going to be a good player, hopefully. I'm rooting for him. But, let's pick another. There's a zillion numbers out there, man.
I can see it both ways with the players that have already had their numbers retired. But you know what? Good on the people that are like, no.
I'm completely fine with it.
You know, yeah. I mean, if you want to give up your number, more power to you. But if you're like, you know what? No, then don't be shamed into, you know, the internet coming after you and be like, oh, come on. You gotta let up 56.
I'm totally with you on that. You know, I'm 100% with you on that. I'm not getting on a guy that's like, eh, you know what? I'm not giving you my number, and you're going to have to live with that. So I'm with you on that, because there's that other side where people are like, oh, how could he do that? Yes. What do you mean? I was a legend here. I wore this number. It's retired in the rafters. There's a reason it's retired. That's how it is.
And how about this? I was here for 12, 13, 14. I was here for two decades or something like that.
Yeah,
you haven't even taken a snap yet.
Yeah, what's to say that he gets 56 or 11 and pulls a Saquon, where, Saquon wanted to be a Giant, but he moved on and now he's in Philly. What's to say that he's going to spend 10 years in New York?
Or what's more, he blows out his knee and is never the same player.
Yeah.
And so you just unretired a number for a guy that had a cup of coffee at that team and was a massive bust or something like that. Never got it going.
He is a rookie now.
Hasn't taken a snap yet.
Yeah, let's maybe have a couple years where you're a dominant edge rusher, then we can maybe have the discussion.
Man, just the, for lack of a better term, the balls on some of these guys.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know what? Yeah, that's my number now. No.
No, it's not.
It's crazy. It's crazy how that happens.
I wore this number, you know, listen, I'm a 44 fan, so that's why when you said that, I'm like, oh, yeah, that was my,
it's a clean look.
Yeah, that was my number in baseball. I love that. And basketball, actually.
Okay.
So I when you brought that up, I'm like, ooh, that would kind of look good on Abdul Carter now.
I mean, if he's a loyal listener to the Sports Hub, first and foremost, hey, Abdul, how you doing? But 44 would look pretty good on you. I'm not
gonna lie. As an edge rusher, like, I think 40s is kind of an underrated number.
Yes.
Like 45.
Ooh. Got to be an even number for me.
It's got to be an even number.
I'm not a big odd guy in the 40s.
I wouldn't go 46, but like 48 would look pretty good. I'm just spitballing numbers now.
Yeah. Yeah, 44. I'm good with that. All right, upcoming next on the show, we're talking some Aberdeen Roncalli tennis. We're talking some Aberdeen Roncalli golf, and we'll talk a little hockey officiating as well. All of that and more, plus maybe even some Hub City Radio talk. Well, here we are on Hub City Radio after all. He's, of course, an intern here around these parts as Gannon May. He'll be joining us after this. Sports Hub continues right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Matt McClure, David Tewksbury live in studio, joined alongside by none other than the Hub City Radio intern, Gannon May. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
We're doing great. We're watching the trailer for Fall over here. This has got to be on your list, right?
Yeah, it definitely will be a movie I want to watch soon.
Got to be on the list. All right, so we're here to talk a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and full disclosure, a little inside baseball. My boss, I guess our boss, he texted me the other day and said, hey, I was listening into the Sports Hub the other day, and the guys were talking about hockey and all the things that were happening at the end of that Bismarck-Aberdeen Wings series. Now, are you also an official for hockey as well?
Yeah, so I'm a South Dakota official. I've been doing it for – this is my third year now doing it, and I've been enjoying it as much as I can. So,
You like officiating?
Yeah, I do.
How'd you get into that?
So I actually played hockey for about 10 years, and then my freshman year I had a spine injury, and I decided to quit hockey and didn't know what I was going to do. And then Rob Weimeister, the old girls head coach, and he just got inducted to the South Dakota Hall of Fame, he was like, oh, you should try officiating. And I'm like, yeah, you know, when I played, I didn't really like the officials that much, but I guess I'll give it a try. And yeah, it's just something that I've never regretted doing. So,
worst thing that you've heard someone yell at you?
Oh boy,
that's radio appropriate.
I don't. How many officials have
nice glasses? 22 or something like that.
Yeah, no. Someone told me to quit my job this year at the state tournament that I did because I made the right call. He didn't really think it was the right call, but I don't even think he really saw what happened either. So. That was the only thing, but he apologized to me the next day, and we were all good after that. But that was probably the worst thing someone said to me.
That's not too bad. So did you see the end of the Bismarck Wings game? What was your from an official's point of view? What did you see?
So before I say any like my input, I'm not gonna come on here and just bash the officials because like
nor are we.
Yeah, they're. They're in the same position as, like, these players. Like, you've heard the term league of development. That's exactly what the NAHL is. And these players are trying to move on to play college hockey, and these officials are trying to move on to ref upper-level leagues and stuff. Like, I've seen officials that have refed Wings games, like, ref ECHL games, which is a few steps below the NHL. So, first of all, like, I feel like the calls were kind of going both ways. And it feels like the calls that were going against the Wings happened at the most crucial points of the game. Like that 5-minute charging penalty, I don't think that should have been a 5 in a game. Definitely should have been a 2, but a 5 in a game seems way too much for a playoff game, game 5.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of sudden death thing. Then the 4-minute double minor to Pitters.
Yeah, what was that?
It was more of a retaliation penalty.
Okay.
But if you watch the video, I don't know if you guys watched the video.
I haven't seen the video on that one.
Pitters gets knocked down. I mean, it was a clean knockdown and stuff. But then he proceeds to get cross-checked in the back like 2 times.
Mm-hmm.
And then, obviously, I'd be pretty mad too if I got cross-checked in the back. And then, so he gets the penalty. But I feel like it should have been...
And they always get the second guy, right?
Yeah, they should have taken both players, and it should have been Quinsell's Wings should have still probably had the pedal or power play for that time. And yeah, I didn't really agree with that one, but I mean,
It's kind of tough in the moment.
It's a tough one to call in the moment there for sure. But you would think to make the game fair, you'd take both. And that's exactly what I would have done in that moment. And, yeah, so then going to that controversial goaltender interference call, I don't know. I feel like that goal should have been waved off, personally.
Okay.
'Cause the thing is that the goalie in goaltender interference, it's one of the toughest calls to make as an official, 100%. I mean, you can even ask any other official, they'll agree, like, goaltender interference is probably one of the most difficult calls to make. And people think that, oh, the goalie's outside of the crease, it's fair game. That's not the case. The goalie has every right to be outside the crease, and he has every right not to be, like, made contact with. And did the goalie maybe sell it a little bit? I think so. And should the officials maybe blew the whistle a little bit earlier? Probably. But people are also saying, like, oh, they should just go video review it. Technically, they cannot do that in the NHL. They sent out a rule a couple years ago saying that you can only review goals if it crossed the goal line, if it crossed the goal line while the net was still on, and there was two other things that I can't remember off the top of my head, but none of it had to do with goaltender interference. So it's all up to the discretion of the refs in that moment.
And that's what we talked about, not to cut you off, but we talked about that with Scott Langer as well on Friday of this last week, was that's something they're going to look into this offseason. Is it's kind of like in football where you challenge a play and it's like, well, we were looking at their feet. Well, sometimes something else happened that you may think is ancillary to the play, but you look at the entire play. It's not just one little piece of the play. So now you're talking in the NAHL. You're going to be able to look at the entire play, not just one little part of the play, if you will.
Yes. Like I said, like when it's up to the discretion of the referees, I mean, you got to think of where they're positioned. That referee that was down below the goal line, I mean, the backs were facing him, so he had no idea what happened or if Anderson turned into Lilson or if Lilson just full-on tried to take him out of the play. It's tough to make that call, and then I don't know where the other official was at, but he might have had a little bit of a better view. So I think that's where the goal kind of got disallowed there, was the top official's view.
Well, when I first saw it, and I said this after the game, I thought it should have been called. And I said, refs are usually going to call that. I mean, yes, and then I kind of watched it back a little bit more, and I'm like, yeah, did he sell it? You know, so I was kind of 50-50 on it. I see your perspective, and that's kind of where I was the start. Like, hey, they're going to call that penalty 9 times out of 10, it seemed like. And, you know, obviously they did, and they moved on. But, yeah, I mean, that's kind of an interesting, intense kind of game, that's for sure. And here it is right here.
Yeah, so for those of you that are watching on the Facebook Live feed on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FoxSportsAberdeen, you've got two officials, one that's kind of in the far side corner of the boards right here on the far left-hand side. And then you've got another official that's on the near side, right around the blue line. And Matt and I have watched this back multiple times. And goaltender goes down, one of the officials on the near side on the blue line doesn't signal anything. And then the official that's behind on the left side boards, he kind of signals in, that's a good goal.
Mm-hmm.
And then the goaltender, or the official, rather, that's on the near side on the blue line, he kind of skates towards him. What's the process like? Is that a situation where this is a guy that's on the near side by the blue line? He has the ability to say, hey, this is what I saw. He's in charge, if you will, like the captain of the officials. Is that fair to say? I know I'm not exactly being very clear in my question here, but this guy has the ability to overrule somebody else, another official.
Because he's got the better angle.
Right.
Yeah, so he obviously has a better angle. Obviously, he can't make the call because he doesn't have the orange stripes on. I mean, he's one of the linesmen there, and I've seen him this whole season lining games, and he's done a great job. But he can tell the officials what he saw, and obviously he probably did, and because he probably had the best angle. But I mean, it's all four officials have to agree with it first before they can call a goal or not. So,
gotcha. Okay.
That's pretty interesting, and like we said, we've been talking about it at length, and it's just, you know, it's tough when that's, you know, there's 90 seconds left in the game, and that's kind of what we're talking about. So it's tough, but certainly refs, they got to have the tough skin to kind of just to deal with it. Is that kind of fair to say?
Yeah, no, you definitely have to have tough skin, and I've definitely, when I first started, I was made aware that I do not have a very tough skin. So I've gotten better about that, and now I've been able to grow a bigger skin or a little bit of a tougher skin and been able to make the right call, and that's definitely helped.
Well, it's kind of like working in radio, too. You know, sometimes when we say stuff on the air, people are like, God, get these yahoos off the air. They don't know what the H they're talking about.
Get these idiots out of here.
Yeah, they don't know what they're talking about. We're calling play-by-play of a game, and, you know, broadcasting is a very subjective thing. Some people love it. Some people don't like it with a certain voice or what have you. So, you know, you're working in two good fields there, officiating and broadcasting as a Hub City Radio intern. You got time for another segment here, Gannon?
Yeah, sure.
Sweet. All right, so we're going to talk some Roncalli tennis here as well, as you're off to a really nice start as the season, of course, getting not that far off to getting wrapped up. So we'll talk about that and much more coming up next on the Sports Hub. Sports Hub continues with Hub City Radio extraordinaire. We'll go with that, right? Does that work?
That works.
Gannon May joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, Hub City Radio intern, as it were. He joins Matt McClure and yours truly, David Tewksbury. And so we visit with you typically talking about golf, but you're also a pretty good tennis player. You're off to a pretty good start here this season. Was it this last weekend? You guys were collectively 4-1.
Yeah.
A 3-0 day for you on Friday. You're kind of locked in right now.
Yeah,
huh?
I've been playing. I feel like I've been playing some of my best tennis as of late, and I put the games together, or matches together. I was 15-3 in the last 18 matches, so that's in doubles and singles. So I've been playing my best tennis right now, I feel like, and I'm going to have a big test today against Central, but I'm feeling confident right now.
Yeah, what does your best tennis look like, you know, from you know, a guy that doesn't watch much tennis? Mm-hmm. You know, I know basic rules of it. You know, when you're playing your best tennis, what's that look like?
I'm playing very aggressive tennis is how I like to play usually, and everything has been just working in my favor. Serves have been great. Returns have been great. I mean, I've been getting all my shots down that I've been struggling with, and yeah, just my mentality too has been pretty solid this year too. So it's been good.
Gannon May joining us live in studio right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial. Smash that like button as well on our Facebook stream there, facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. And last week we had Trent Kurtz on the program, and we were talking about the way that the matches are scored. Sometimes it's two sets. If that's the right way to describe it, you know, 6-0, 6-0, or 6-2, 6-3, or something like that. And then other times you played just to 10. What do you guys have a preference for from your perspective, and what do you guys have today against Central?
So I have no idea what we're doing against Central today, but personally I love sets. I love doing sets because if you lose that first set, there's a chance to, like, hit the reset button and then win that second set. Like, last year at State, I played this really good kid from Huron. Lost the first set and kind of hit the reset button and turn it around and dominated the second set and then won in the super tiebreaker. So that's why I like sets. If it was like we did in Sioux Falls last Friday, we did sets against a really good team, and then we did 10 game against a team or teams that weren't as good, and we wanted just to keep our we wanted to keep our energy for the remaining of the weekend. So it just depends how we're feeling. Like, I hope today we do sets. Like I said, if we do 10 game, I mean, I'm not going to be too happy, but I'll still play my best.
So what is it when you do sets? Is it best 2 out of 3 then?
Yeah, best 2 out of 3, and then the third set is just a super tiebreaker, so it's just first to 10 points.
And then you got to win by 2? Is that how it works there? Okay. So you mentioned, you know, aggressive tennis. You know, when I watch tennis, it's amazing how these guys can return serves. Is serve return, is that one of the hardest parts of the game from your perspective, or what is?
I would say, yeah, it's, for me, serve return has definitely been one of my struggles, but I've definitely worked on that this year and gotten a lot better at returning serves. But for me, my struggle this year has been, and it's kind of always been my struggle, has been approach shots. We're coming up to the net, and usually I like to try to hit a winner down the line, and sometimes it doesn't really work out in my favor, but this year I've been really honing in on those skills, and it's been working for me.
How long does it take to kind of really get comfortable out there on the tennis court? Because I really appreciate tennis from the hand-eye perspective and how quick the game goes, but I tried it one time, and you want to talk about failure. I mean, it was like next-level failure. I mean, you really have to stick with tennis. There is so much that goes into it. How long does it take you to kind of get comfortable out there?
Yeah, so getting in a match when you haven't played at all that day, it takes a little bit. Like it usually takes me a couple points to get really comfortable. It doesn't take – some people it takes quite a bit to get comfortable. Usually for me it doesn't take too long, but usually a couple points. And once I figure out how my opponent's playing, then I'll usually kind of start to get a game plan written up and go from there.
Can you talk to us about what tennis shape looks like? Because you got to be in – pristine condition, you know, the side to side movement.
Mm-hmm.
Tennis matches can go a long time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, especially if, you know, he wins a set, you win a set. I mean, games, it's not just a four quarter type sport, you know. Mm-hmm. What I mean, it could be a couple hours you're out on the court. Can you talk to us about tennis shape, if you will?
Yeah, so it all starts with like preparing the night before. I mean, drinking a lot of fluids, eating a good dinner, good breakfast in the morning. And then when you get out on the court, it's just quick feet, quick little steps. Don't try to do too much while you're on the court. Just short little steps and make sure you're conserving as much energy as possible. And then in between changeovers, I mean, make sure you're staying hydrated. Like every time I go play a match for high school, I always have a purple Powerade Zero and a specific kind of water that I drink. I mean, that's kind of superstitious, but like...
Hey, we're fans of that here.
It helps me a lot during matches to stay hydrated.
And, you know, are you more of a do you like playing doubles, or are you just strictly singles? You know, I know the doubles, the rules are a little bit different. Mm-hmm. With the court expands a little bit.
Yep.
There. What's your thoughts on that?
I'm personally a singles player because I like to just be my own person. But I don't mind playing doubles. I have a really good partner that's really good at the net, and we kind of go hand in hand because I'm good in the backcourt. He's really good at the net, so it kind of makes for good strategy sometimes.
Yeah, Will Haskell, there, your teammate.
Mm-hmm.
This is a dumb question. Maybe that's not dumb for others, but are there timeouts in tennis? You know, when you can have Jason Haskell come over to you and say, "Hey, here's what I'm seeing. You know, you should really kind of switch it up, go over here." Are there sorts of things as timeouts in tennis or not so much?
Yeah, I wouldn't say they're call timeouts. It's when we change sides. We have a little bit of extra time to talk with our coaches and stuff. Usually, I think the state gives, I think it's 90 seconds where we can talk to our coaches and stuff. But yeah, that's basically the timeout that we get.
How key is it to, you know, have a great serve? I feel like you can kind of be on the upper hand if you have – you know, if your serve's on,
mm-hmm,
and they're struggling with it, is that fair to say that when that's on, you could be tough to beat?
Yeah, because if you have a good serve and your opponent is struggling to get it, you basically own that point. Like, there should be no reason that you lose that point off a good serve if you're making your opponent struggle to get that return back.
And kind of to piggyback off of that, how can you regroup after a fault? You know, is that difficult to do as well? Like, hey, the serve's out of bounds, it's a fault. You know, we got to get it in the field of play, if you will, here, so we could play. Can that be difficult at all?
Yeah, definitely on second serves, if I'm double faulting both times, it's definitely tough to regroup because then you're wondering, like, oh, boy, is this going to be like this for the rest of the match? But for me, I've really stepped up on not double faulting this year, and that's really helped me to win points and things like that.
At the high school level, do you see a lot of double faults then?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
A lot of double faults.
That'd be me. That would be me. Knock on wood, you said that you haven't had too much of a problem with that here today. Given the fact that you're actually a really good golfer too, does it feel like that has really helped you play tennis? Because you're going to have a bad shot.
Mm-hmm.
In golf, every once in a while, probably less than us, certainly. But you're you know what to do, what not to do. But bad things happen on any playing surface,
yeah,
for that matter. Does it feel like, given the fact that you also play golf, you can kind of flush it quicker than maybe someone that doesn't?
Yeah, so I feel like golf and tennis have one of the, you have to have one of the strongest mentalities when playing those sports. And yeah, playing golf too helps me a lot in tennis, just to move point by point and put the last point in the past. And yeah, I mean, sometimes I struggle with it because, like this weekend, I played Lennox, a really good Lennox kid, and we've played each other for, geez, I don't know, how, probably 3 years now, and we've gone back and forth, and I thought, like, I was playing my greatest tennis, and he was just hitting shots back that were better, and we were going back and forth, and I ended up losing in two set tiebreakers, and I probably would put my mentality on that loss, because there was definitely some things I could have changed with my mentality. Like I was still getting mad over splitting two games, and then, or like a double fault that happened a while ago. So it was just things like that where my mentality needed to be a little bit better. But I feel like this weekend when I have a chance to play him again, it'll be a closer match, and hopefully I'll come out on top with a better mentality.
Do you watch a lot of tennis? Like if Wimbledon's on, French Open's on, are you throwing that on? Nadal, Djokovic, do you have a favorite player, if you will?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Nick Kyrgios. He's got that.
He's a wild child, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a wild child, and he's got that tenacity, too, that gets under the skin of a lot of players that he plays against. And I like how his style of play and his creative shots and things like that, too.
Does it drive you crazy when people call it Wimbledon?
I've never actually heard of people call it Wimbledon. I mean, yeah, it doesn't drive me crazy at all.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like maybe that's just me, you know, talking to people out in the community, because it's Wimbledon. Mm-hmm. It's not Wimbledon. There's mm-hmm. no T in there. Yep. It's a D.
I don't think I've heard that.
No, really? Maybe that's just a me thing. Maybe it's people I'm talking to. But, yeah, Vilhauer called me out on that a couple years ago, and I was like, oh, yeah, you're right. Maybe I got to get that right. So, yeah, Wimbledon, not Wimbledon.
So there's obviously, you know, when you get to the higher level, there's a grass court, and then we were talking about this yesterday. There's a grass court, there's a clay court. What's like the normal tennis court playing surface?
So it's usually concrete, and they put I don't really know how to,
because it's a little, we were saying is
neither do we.
Yeah,
it's not like concrete you'll find at like on a parking lot or anything or a sidewalk. It's a special kind of concrete that they put a special like ceiling over, which is basically like the paint and stuff, and it just has like a little bit of a different texture.
So have you played on like a clay or a grass court before?
I haven't played on a grass court, but I have played on a clay court in Mexico, and I do like playing on clay. The ball bounces a little bit different, and I feel like I was hitting the ball better with on the clay court.
Yeah, that's sweet. That's Djokovic's game. He's the big clay guy for sure. Mm-hmm.
I think that, and Nadal. Isn't Nadal dominant on clay?
They call him the king of clay. And that, I was actually at the Nadal Tennis Center in Cancun, is where I played.
Oh, really?
Clay court. So yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Isn't there like a Creed album, like The Man of Clay or The Face of Clay?
I'm not sure.
Oh, I'm going to have to look that one up. Gannon May joining us here live in studio, Fox Sports Aberdeen. Maybe one or two more before we get you out of here. Also, obviously, an avid golfer there as well. What's kind of your summer looking like? I know you're headed up to UND this next year, right?
Yeah, so obviously with working out at the Aberdeen Regional Airport and then working out at Moxon Creek Country Club, just my plan is at Mock is to help out with a lot of the tournaments, obviously the big Pro-Am tournament that's going on, and then a bunch of other little tournaments that they have, and then this year, too, working with First Tee, getting some youth golfers out and about and playing golf, and, just teaching them how to play.
You gone out at all, played a little bit yet this summer? I know you're focused on tennis right now.
Yeah, I haven't played at all yet, but I've talked with some friends, and they've wanted to go out and play, and I'm going to do a tournament this summer, too, with a bunch of friends. I think it's the Aberdeen hockey one we're going to do, and
sure,
that'll be a fun one to do.
You going to play any sports in college, you know, or you going to be focusing on, you know, what you're focusing on? How about that?
Yeah, I think I'm going to join the club tennis team up there. I know they've had a pretty good history of good players that have went up there, and I know they have a team that plays in the Summit League that's had a really good year this year. So I'm going to continue playing tennis up there. And we'll see where that takes me.
Yeah, it's kind of like golf. It's really a forever sport. I mean, you can play golf, tennis into your 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Do you play any pickleball at all?
Yeah, actually, our class has really started to play pickleball.
Okay.
This spring. We're getting a tournament put together, and it's actually kind of funny because it's a pick-your-own partner tournament, and I picked A.J. Prane at Aberdeen Central to be my partner, and we'll see if we'll be partners today after our match, but I'm sure we will be. I mean, we're great friends, and I'm excited to play him today.
A little bragging rights on the line.
Yeah, basically, it'll be a lot of bragging rights, so it'll be a fun match, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, 4 o'clock first serve today. Where's that over? Is that NSU or Holgate?
It's going to be at Holgate.
Holgate today?
Yep.
Okay, gotcha. What's the scouting report for him looking like? He knows you. You know him. I mean, that's got to be a lot of fun competing with a buddy.
Yeah, I watched him play yesterday. They played Milbank here, and I think I'm just going to try to move him around a little bit, get him out of position, and just play my aggressive style tennis.
You're just over there in the corner, just like piece of paper, you got a piece just of like writing it all down.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
It's like the Bill Belichick when he's at the NFL draft combine.
He's got the little binoculars, those tiny little ones. No, you don't need
those. He does this. Okay. I'm going to do that.
Yeah. Nice. Well, should be a lot of fun. Good luck there today against him. Final one, I guess, before we get you out of here. Golf is really in a good space, I feel like, here in Aberdeen. I mean, we talk about how good Olivia Braun is. Mm-hmm. I mean, Emma Doerr had herself a really nice day there yesterday. Can you kind of talk about the culture of golf here in Aberdeen? Because it's a big deal. You're talking to a couple of avid golfers ourselves, and we always have a lot of fun with it, regardless of how good or bad we play. But, you know, golf's a big deal here in town.
Yeah, so especially at our age, golf's really, really getting to be popular. Obviously, Dean's on. The old head pro at Moxon Creek has done a phenomenal job getting youth golfers out and playing and just developing a culture. And it's a fun sport to play. I mean, I encourage a lot of people to try it. And we have all the resources to become a better golfer. And we have the simulators out at Moxon Creek. We have professionals that know the game well. So, it's a great culture in Aberdeen. Definitely an advantage over a lot of other places in the rest of the state.
Yeah, Claire Crawford and others there at Roncalli on the girls' side of things. So, yeah, really in a good spot. Any final comments before we get you out of here? We'll give you the last word.
No, I appreciate you guys having me on today.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun having you on board, if you will, if that makes sense. So good luck today against AJ, and should be a lot of fun there.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Gannon May joining us here live in studio, Fox Sports Aberdeen. We'll come on back and take a look at some of the high school action from yesterday on the tennis as well as golf side of things. Also some softball and baseball. We'll unpack it all coming up next on FSA. Sports Up continues right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. And, yeah, Aberdeen Central versus Aberdeen Roncalli should be a lot of fun here today. You got two teams that are playing some really, really solid tennis. Roncalli going collectively 4-1 over the weekend. As for the Central boys, I think now they've won 4 straight after defeating Milbank there yesterday. As Gannon May's opposition, A.J. Prane, victorious yesterday, 10-2. So, I tell you what, if you've got not a whole lot going on here on a Tuesday afternoon, swing on by Holgate. That could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and how about Gannon doing a little scouting, too, yesterday?
Right.
I like that.
I do, too. Yeah, he wasn't shy about it. I'm sure AJ probably saw him over there, but he's got his, like, you know, 3-ring binder over there. It's like, oh, he's kind of weak when he goes to his left.
Yeah, his backhand, not the strongest. If I can attack that, I might have a better chance.
Pretty good at the net. I could attack this area. So, yeah, good stuff, and that should be a very, very entertaining match. And I'm going to go here, bold prediction. I'm calling it right here and right now. It's either 5-4 or 6-3. Okay. Don't know who's going to win, but that's my prediction. 5-4 or 6-3.
Yeah, and it seems like these guys know each other pretty well. They're friends, so a little bragging rights. And like you said about the pickleball thing, it's like, hey, I beat you in tennis. You have to be my pickleball partner. Mm-hmm. If not, you know, there could be like a fun little thing.
Well, when I was a kid, it was always, hey, if the Seahawks lose to the Bears, I got to wear a Bears jersey
around campus
for a full day. I hated doing that.
Yeah, that's a very popular one when your team loses. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, for whatever reason, my dad got gifted a Steelers hoodie.
Oof.
So, like, my brother Mark, when the Steelers would beat the Ravens sometimes, like, the next morning, he'd come down with that Steelers hoodie on. We just, like, start smiling. Like, come on, man. Really? You're doing this right now?
That'd be like my dad wearing a 49ers hoodie or something like that. I just puke. All right, on the golf side of things from yesterday, after winning the last two invites, the Golden Eagles that they partook in, they traveled down south on I-29 to Prairie Green Golf Course there in Sioux Falls. That's actually where the state tournament is going to be this year for the AA girls. And they put together a very solid individual as well as team effort en route to a second-place finish. How about the likes of Emma Doerr? She would finish in third place, a one-over par 73 for her, as Doerr picked up an eagle on the, I think it was a par 4 12th. Yep, there you go. Good for her. Also sprinkled in a couple bogeys, but finishing the last two holes with a pair of birdies. Good stuff there for Emma Doerr. And, you know, we talk about how good Olivia Braun is, and, you know, she is. But you know what? She's not just, it's not just a one-horse race with this Aberdeen Central team. Kylie Weyerbaugh finishing in the top 10, and Emma Doerr very, very capable too.
No doubt about it. And we saw it last week or the week prior that Doerr finished in first, you know, against Braun. They were 1-2. But you got to think, I know it's early on in the season, but you got to think, you know, Central, you know, seeing this Mitchell team, and they're probably a little bit annoyed here. You got to think, right? I mean, this is the second time they faced off in one of these, and, you know, Mitchell's been in first, they've been in second. So I'm just saying, like, you got to think that that's going to be in the back of their head moving forward.
It's very much a two-horse race in AA golf right now. Aberdeen Central has gotten the better of Mitchell a lot early on this season. Mitchell kind of got their just desserts this time. And, you know, if we're being frank, I was thinking about this morning. In any other sport, you can have a bad play and your teammates will pick you up. In golf, if you have one bad hole, that can ruin your round.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of out of time, but, you know, we saw that a little bit yesterday. By the way, boys, tennis, Central, all over Milbank, softball, baseball, check it all on our website. But good stuff there. It's all there, hubcityradio.com. Wolves midweek, final one of the season tomorrow.